Well, as a church, we do our best to try and lead, albeit imperfectly, through moments like our culture is facing today. If you are on social media, and unlike Pastor Ingrid, whose Instagram algorithm is puppies, homesteading, and baking. So if it's not one of those, her Instagram feed is not filling it. But if you have a slightly different Instagram algorithm that you're following, or TikTok, or whatever, Facebook, you know that Charlie Kirk and others have dominated our recent space on social media. And it's more than just dominating the space on social media. It's dominating conversations. It's dominating places in people's hearts and minds in wrestling with what to do. Today, Charlie Kirk will be put to rest. And as he's put to rest, as followers of Jesus, we should be praying for his wife, Erica, and his two children. And Jesus, though, says we are also to love our enemy and pray for those who persecute us. And so this case, we should also lean into forgiving and praying for the shooter, Tyler Robinson. Whether it was Charlie Kirk or Irina Zarutska on a bus, or John and Yvette Hoffman in their home, and if you don't know their names, it's all spectrums of ideology that are being attacked and dealing with things. We don't celebrate death. We don't celebrate the end of people that we may not like their voice. Instead, we pray for those who mourn. And so this week, let's cling to the gospel that actually transforms us. We're sinners. We're saved by grace. We're being shaped daily into the likeness of Jesus. The gospel that we preach, it's not about perfection, but about Christ's perfect life, his death, and his resurrection. Peter's denial of Jesus, it didn't disqualify him. The Spirit empowered him boldly to proclaim truth at Pentecost. God's work through any of us, like Charlie or anyone else, is an endorsement of our flaws, but a testament to his grace in our lives. This doesn't excuse when we do hurtful things or say words or have actions that hurt others, but it reminds us to lift up Christ alone, not our righteousness. For those of you who may not know, Charlie started the organization that he runs that was massive at this day. He started it when he was only 18 years old, having only graduated from high school. So to the next generation, those younger, we stand with you. The world demands perfection, but that perfection they're demanding is a moving target, and it that others will weaponize against you. Every side demands loyalty to them alone. But God's gospel rests on him, not on you. Our loyalty is to God. So don't fall for the enemy's trap of demonizing those who disagree with you. They aren't the enemy. Our true battle is only a spiritual battle, because we are all made in his image, and he desires that all would come to the saving knowledge of him as Lord. In sharing your faith, you don't need to be perfect in doing so. Share it boldly, share it quietly, share it with words or with deeds, online or offline. Apologize when you stumble. Grow in love and obey Christ's word above all. An imperfect person sharing God's truth is way better than a person waiting to be good enough to share. Because in Christ you are enough. Because in your weakness, he is strong. To all of us, following Jesus in Canada is challenging enough without tearing each other down over differences. The gospel calls us to die to ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. We may not agree with everybody on ideology or ideas, even within Christianity, on doctrine, but we can unite with the gospel's absolutes, which outweigh our disputes. Jesus never took sides. If you notice, he never took sides. Whether it was Jew versus Roman or Roman versus Jew, he took no side. He only took the side of his kingdom, of heaven. And we too are called to not take sides, not to attack sides, but to put his kingdom first. Which means we often live in the tension in between polarized groups around us. And it's not a cop-out to picking a side in a battle. It's a tension we have to intentionally live out, because we have to offer another way, the way of Jesus. And we're honored to walk this journey out to become more like Jesus alongside of you, our brothers and sisters. In Matthew 14, 13, Jesus, when his cousin John was unjustly killed, his first reaction was to seek solitude with the Father before ministering to others. So we should follow his lead before we speak or act. Spend time with the one who equips us to love and serve well. This week in HeartStrong, we're in the third section on the book of Proverbs that we're going through. But before we get into what we're reading in from our section that we're reading from today, I want to connect wisdom, the wisdom of Proverbs, to a parable that Jesus told. Because what is true in the wisdom literature in the books of Proverbs and Psalms and things like that is equally true regarding what Jesus said in this story. And scripture doesn't contradict itself. It is consistent. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they always show the character of God, and the message is unchanging. In fact, in this story, just like in Proverbs, Jesus uses contrasting characters, a wise man and a foolish man, very much like Proverbs. Right towards the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells this story in Matthew 7. He says, "Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." In life, in what God gives us, I want you to think of it almost as having three layers that we have to work through. The first layer is knowledge. Knowledge. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know. Right? We just don't even know. We think we're doing all right, and we think we have a grasp on things, but there's knowledge that we just don't even know. And God has knowledge for us that's beyond what we know, beyond what in the natural we can figure out. But then there's another level beyond knowledge. There's a second level that's discernment. Sometimes once we know something, we wish we didn't know it. And on our flesh, I know you've probably, if you're like me, you've experienced this. At a time where in the battle between your flesh and you trying to follow Jesus, you've had moments where once you learn something, you wish you didn't hear it. You do wish you didn't hear that right there. But you wish you didn't know it. Right? You come across an understanding of scripture, an understanding of the way God asks us to live, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that means I have to adapt my behavior. And you wish you didn't know that. You wish you could go back to the ignorance of the way things were before, right? That's discernment and understanding that something needs to happen. But then the third layer is accountability. Obedience is what we do with what we now know. It's one thing to gain knowledge. It's another thing to understand the discernment of where you are and where that knowledge is supposed to take you. And then there's another level of accountability that says, I'm actually going to follow through with what knowledge and discernment have provided me so I can live in that. In the story Jesus told, both the wise and the foolish man, they hear the words. Both do probably step one and probably step two. They gain knowledge and gain discernment, and they build their lives. But the wise man is defined as trusting the words and the way of Jesus is the right way to build your life. And all the storm does is reveal what we have already chosen. Now, if we let the story and everything come to its natural conclusion, we find that in what Jesus will say in just a couple of chapters later. Matthew 16 says this, "For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." According to the knowledge that he has gained, the discernment he has used, and the accountability for that. Wisdom includes knowledge, understanding, insight, knowing what we once didn't know. But if it doesn't stop at knowing, what separates the wise from the foolish is what we do with what we know to be true. So if we bring it back to the proverb that we're looking at this week, we read it this way, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you." The first action of wisdom is to incline your ear to hear. When we read God's word, do we bend our ear to hear what he is saying? When listening to God's word being preached, like today, do you turn your ear to hear what God is saying to you? And when walking with the Holy Spirit, when in your prayer time and God is speaking to you, do you stretch your ear to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say? Let me give you a lighthearted insight into my relationship with Ingrid that I have come to know and understand, and she has as well. I cannot talk or ask Ingrid anything while she is texting or typing something at all. Her whole focus is on that task. So when I try, something happens in her brain. I will get no response at all, like I didn't say anything at all, and she just keeps going, or sometimes everything just stops in her brain, right? She hears what I say, she's thinking about she's texting, and she's just like, Neither is working. It's like the gears just ground to a stop. Point in case, she was asking me on Friday when I was coming home or how long everybody was going to be at our warehouse sorting stuff. And I was like, we're already done. And she's like, okay, how much longer? And I'm like, I don't understand your question. we're already done. And then she's like, LOL, I was texting and talking, right? Point in case. Texting and talking don't agree with her. But equally true, this is not just me ganging up on her. If I'm watching sports on TV, if I'm watching a football game, I like watching the Chicago Bears play or the Leafs play. I like tormenting myself is what I'm also saying there, if you hear that correctly. She has learned that I am not very responsive in those moments. Coming and asking and having a conversation with me in those moments is not usually fruitful. If it isn't a commercial break, either I am not responsive or not lovingly responsive. I have to pause the game in order to actually hear. I have to bend my ear away from what I was listening to hear her. In listening, sometimes We have to do that. We have to bend our ear to hear. Other times we have to turn towards something while simultaneously turning away from something else. Can you think of anything that Jesus may be asking you to turn away from so that you can hear him better? Remember what separates the wise and the foolish. There are also times when we need to really stretch ourselves and to really concentrate on what is being said. And when you hear what is true in Jesus, can you give him your trust? Coming back to us this week in our message, we're hearing it for a third time over the last couple of weeks. So pay attention. Turn your ear towards it because God wants you to understand this. Proverbs 3:5-8, again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. In all your ways, in all your heart. Like we said earlier, there's a dying to self in this that we must embrace. Applying what God says in his word is our second action. Again, it's not just what we hear, but what we do with what we hear. We don't lean on our own understanding, but apply God's word. We act on it. Mind, body, spirit, we submit to his wisdom. And because his word is life and it is perfect, it will be healing. It will be pleasant for us, even in the midst of chaos. Jesus says, those who are wise do, and those who are foolish do not. Jesus also said he knows which are which. He knows those who are foolish and those who are wise. Even if we can't discern it, if we look at people and go, wow, they look like they've got it all together and they're wise and everything's going great. God knows the condition of our hearts. He knows whether we are building on his wisdom or whether we are building on our own. Jesus said, finally, storms will serve to reveal what we really trust. It's when the storms come. It's when the rains rise. It's when they beat on the door. We have already made our foundation by that point. God in his word or the wisdom of man. It will be exposed in that moment. And because of this, trust is active. It's not passive. You place your trust somewhere. Have you ever had someone trust you to do something and yet they went and did it anyway? Have you ever had that happen? I know oftentimes if we stereotype relationships between husband and wives, that happens probably more than we think it'll happen, right? Somebody, one of the two, will ask each other if to do something. Often, maybe a wife will ask a husband if she can do something, take out the trash, clean up something. And he's like, yes, I'll do that. And she looks over and goes like, not on my timeline, right? And then just does it, right? The trust was not actually there to get it done, was it? It's like, yes, I will do that. And then it's like, I'm actually just going to do it anyway. And maybe he gets up from what he was doing and goes like, oh, I'll take out the trash now. And like, oh, it's already done. Was there trust to actually do the task? No. We actually have to place our trust in something and then let it go. You can't put your trust in something and then take it back. That's not trust at all. We have to place it in somewhere, in something. I know if it happens to me, when that happens to me, when somebody asks me, gives me a task, and I say, yes, I'll do it, and then they just go ahead and do it anyway, I don't feel trusted. I feel like there's something that said, I don't know if he's actually going to do it, or do it to my standard, or do it the way I wanted. so they'll just go ahead and do it anyway. You feel that there's a lack of trust. And maybe, okay, that you didn't have to do it, but you feel a lack of trust in it. The trust has to be placed in and on you. Trust is saying, I will believe you will do it, and I've got no plan B. And because we are flawed and broken, we often betray people in the trust they place in us. And it often makes us leery to trust again. Will we be let down again? We've been let down so many times by other people around us. Even those that we love, they can let us down because they are imperfect and flawed. And then when we turn to our Heavenly Father, we impose humanity on him in a way that isn't right and say, can I trust him? When I look at the way I've been let down by others, can I turn to him and trust him? Know today that he is 100% trustworthy. He cannot fail. It is against his nature to be able to let you down. He will be with you. And here's where we have to get more personal. And as a community, we have to resolve our ideas around trust. Is Jesus worthy of your trust? Will you bend your ear? Can you trust what Jesus has said about certain things? Can you trust what Jesus has said about himself, who he is and what he has done for you? Can you trust that? That his love for you is so complete that upon salvation, your sin, your past is forgotten by him. That he doesn't look on it anymore but sees you as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. Do you trust what he says about you and about himself? Do you trust what he says about all other religions? That he is the only way. He is the truth, the way, and the light. He is the only way to God. Do you trust that? Do you trust what God has to say, what Jesus has to say about politics and what our role is? Do you trust what God has to say about life, about eternity? Do you trust him about relationships, about sexuality? Do you trust him what he has to say about stewardship, about how everything is his? And we are only stewards of it. Do you trust him? Do you trust him with forgiveness, which is a hard one sometimes? When he says to forgive our enemies and those who have hurt us, do we trust what he says about forgiveness? Do you trust him about dying to yourself, about saying that I have to give up my way and go his way? Do you trust him that that is the only way? There is no compatibility going with Jesus and going your way. Do you trust him when he says to pick up your cross? Pick up your cross. Take up dying to self daily. Take up the ministry or the mission that God has for you daily. Do you trust him to love your enemy? Do you trust him when he says you can't serve two masters? Do you trust him when he says, come to me? Come to me and I will make your burdens light. Leave your burdens behind and I will give you a yoke that is light and easy. Do you trust him to carry those things? Do you trust him to learn from him instead of the worldly wisdom around us? Do you trust him to follow him? Do you trust him to not be ashamed of him? To be ashamed of the gospel. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I've made them known to you today, even to you. The first action of wisdom is to incline our ear to hear, and the second action of wisdom is to apply your heart to hear what he says in his word. God is so gracious to us, so gracious. He has made his wisdom known to us so that we can apply it and see that he is wholly trustworthy. I have made them known to you today, even to you, that your trust may be in the Lord. That's what he's saying in that verse. I just reversed the order so it makes sense in our minds. I've made them known to you. I've given you wisdom so that you can see that I am trustworthy. If you apply it, you'll see that I am trustworthy. I'm no different in how I walk this out in my daily life than many of you. For me, what Jesus has said is true is ultimate truth, the highest truth that holds the final authority in my life. And sometimes trusting it comes quick. Sometimes it's easy. I hear it, I see it, I believe it, it's settled. Other times, it's a struggle. Regardless, what we cannot touch is its place in our lives. That his word and his wisdom is final authority. We cannot touch that. Even when we struggle to wrap our heads around his wisdom and his ways, even when we go and look and say, like, this does not make sense. Everything I hear around me says the opposite. Can I put my trust in that? We have to believe and trust his word is his final authority. And when it's a struggle, we need to embrace the wisdom found in Proverbs 23:19. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. And surely there is a future and a hope. You will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise and direct your heart in the way. When you're tempted to follow the way of sinners, the wisdom of man, continue to bend your ear towards God. Heed his wisdom and apply it to your life. There is a hope and a future for us in Christ, no matter the storm. So be wise, bend your ear, direct your heart in the way of Jesus. If we just take one area from that list that I mentioned of ways that we have to put our trust in him, dying to self. I don't know a single person for whom that is easy. Dying to self, saying my will, what I wanna do, the impulses and urges and desires within me, I'm gonna die to them so that Christ can live in me and his plan and purposes for my life can be rolled out. I don't know who that is really easy for. Yet in the struggle, direct your heart in the way of trusting Jesus until you can give him complete trust, until you have victory in areas of your life that is harder to give to him. Continue to put your trust in him. Bend your ear away from the things that are drawing you away and towards God. Learn quickly to die to self. Learning quickly to do that is absolutely crucial in our walk that closely follows Jesus. It's hard when we're slow in it, when he says, hey, Jeff, I need you to let that go. I need you to, as you're following me, I need you to let that go. And when we pause as he's walking, we're like, ooh, I don't know if I like that, because we want to hold on to it. The space between where God wants us to be and where we are grows. If we just sit there and go, I don't know if I want to let go of this. I don't know if I want to turn away from this to keep following you. He wants us to do that. He wants us to sever those things and continually follow him. Be radical in your cutting off of the voices and the things that keep you from walking in step with Jesus. When a storm reveals that my trust is elsewhere, when I come to know what I now know is true, obedience or disobedience is what I do, not what I say. I can say all the right things, but when it comes down to it, what do I do? What do I do? That's what matters. That's what matters. Not what I say. Confession, repentance, giving, serving, praying, abiding. In fact, all the different spiritual disciplines that we've been looking at, they help us redirect our focus in our ears to hear what God is saying. It redirects our hearts to hear and follow the way of Jesus. So today, wherever you are, whatever walk of life you're in, whatever is pushing against you, whatever wisdom of the world is trying to keep hold in your heart, bend your ear to hear the word of God today. I know some of you are hearing specifically from God what you need to do, what voices you need to cut out. Listen to what he's saying and apply it to your lives. Don't forget that third layer of accountability of going, now follow through. Now follow through. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for your graciousness and your love towards us. Not only do you want to know us and be in relationship with us and for us to know you, you want to give us your wisdom to help us follow you more closely. Today, corporately, we ask you, God, to speak to us. Today, corporately, we are saying, God, we bend our ear towards you as a church community to hear what you are saying, to follow you more closely, to gain your wisdom so that we can follow you more closely here in the Cornwall and Seaway region. We bend our ear to you. God, we also want to do that individually for ourselves as well. As a church body and individual members of that body, we want to turn our ears to you, to gain your wisdom, to gain your understanding, to put our trust completely in you and follow through with what you ask of us. Because you are trustworthy. We can say like Peter, you asked, where else are you going to leave me? Where else is there to go? And Peter said, where else can we go? You have the words of life. You do, God. You have words of life for us. And so we bend our ear towards you today. And God, we just repent for listening to the wisdom of the world, for allowing it to potentially lead us in paths that we should not go, or take opinions that we should not have, or say things that do not totally reflect your kingdom and who you are in us. We repent of that and turn our ear towards you. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Third week of each month, we're going to emphasize something that we do each week, praying for the sick by anointing with oil. And James says, if any of are sick among you, have them come to the elders of the church and have them anoint with oil and pray over them. And the prayer of faith will heal them. We believe that God heals. Amen. Amen. How many here believe that God still heals? I know we have people in the room that have been healed. And so today we're going to invite you to receive prayer for healing. If you want, you can come forward and our prayer team will anoint you with oil and pray prayer of faith that you will be healed. As well today, just in light of our current cultural moment of what's going on, in light of our message about inclining our ears, bending our ear towards God, we would like to pray for you as well. And if any of you are working through what we've prayed about today or talked about today, inclining your ear towards God and hearing what the Lord has to say, it can be hard in this cultural moment to fix your eyes solely on Him and hear His voice. And so if you desire, we'd love to pray over you for that. And specifically, what our prayer team will do is pray over you and just anoint your ears. Just anoint your ears to say, these are ears that hear the voice of God, that bend towards the voice of God. Maybe today will be an act for you of turning away from other voices. Maybe it'll be an act of strengthening your resolve in the midst of hearing so many things. But we'd love to pray over you if you so desire. We'd love to anoint you to hear so you can apply His word, live trusting in Him. And so at the same time, we'll pray for whatever you need. But we have those two things we want to focus on today, praying for the sick and praying that we would incline our ears towards him. So we invite you to do that.